Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. This is Victoria of the Way Podcast, the one with Golden Dove. Before we get into today's episode, I just want to take a quick moment to say thank you. Thank you so very much. You have been so supportive of this podcast, and it does not go unnoticed. Your listening support is helping us establish ourselves in the podcast field. With that being said, if you are enjoying the Way Podcast, and that is the one with the Golden Dove, and you want to hear more, please be sure to subscribe and leave us a positive review. This really helps us out. And it's totally free for you to do that. Other free things you can do to help us out is to share on social media when you're listening and tuning in to us. DM me your thoughts on future episodes, because as your host, it really helps me to design and form upcoming episodes to your liking. Thank you so much for all you've done so far, and I can't wait to share more with you. Hi, this is Vicky, the host of the Way Podcast, an international podcast that equips Christians to grow and mature in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. We empower you through scripture and Bible study to apply the word to your everyday living. The Way Podcast is where you, the believer, can learn about financial freedom and how to live the kingdom life. Today, before we continue with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, let's do a review. In our previous lesson, we learned that Paul did not want any believer to be moved or frightened because of the persecutions that were unfolding in Thessalonica. Paul called the persecutions tribulations, and he didn't want the new babes in the faith to flounder. So, guess what he did? He sent Timothy to them. And when Timothy returned to Paul, Paul was happy to hear about their strong faith, charity, and the remembrance of his previous visit. Paul directed the Thessalonians to increase and abound in love one to another and toward all men. Today, we're going to read through chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And here, Paul is giving specifics or more detail to the Thessalonians on how to live a gracious life in Jesus. Okay, go get your Bibles. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, like the Gentiles, which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth, despise not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren, which are in all Macedonia. For we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have a lack of nothing. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Okay, in verse 1, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. In verse 1, we see that Paul was desirous of their perfection in Christ. And from verses 3 through 18, Paul basically gives requirements of the will of God and of sanctification. One of them, well, let me go through them. 1, abstain from fornication or all kinds of sexual sins. 2, know how to live in sanctification and honor. 3, not in the lust or strong sexual desire. Here, it means excessive sexual lust, like the Gentiles who knew no bounds. 4, do not defraud your brother man by seducing his wife to corrupt her and break up a home. Every type of perversion was practiced. I don't know if you know this or not, but every type of perversion was practiced among Gentiles. You know, their gods, their rulers, and their teachers were examples of impurity. They had no system of ethics that forbade these types of practices. Remember, the Israelites were given the laws, the Ten Commandments to go by. God had given them some rules and laws to go by. Gentiles didn't have that. They had nothing to forbid them. They had nothing to go by. Therefore, whatever they wanted to do, however they wanted to do it, that was it. 5, Paul was telling them to walk in holiness, not in uncleanness of sexual perversion. 6, do not despise men. In other words, don't hate each other. They're not only talking about men, they're talking about women too. Don't hate each other. Love one another. Increase in love. Study to be quiet. You know, there were a lot of busybodies back then running around, like there are today. In everybody's business, study, be quiet, work with your hands, be diligent in business, work with your hands, walk honestly before man, have integrity, have a bright hope, comfort one another with the return of Jesus. Okay? The Greek word for sanctification, and you know who I am with the Greek words, hagiosmos. I'm gonna leave it at that. Consecration translates as holiness. Hagiosmos means concentration, and it was translated into English as holiness, a separation unto God or a setting apart. Your vessel refers to man's own body, which he is to keep from fornication. In verse 8, he therefore that despiseth not man. Here, the ability to abide by God's sexual ethic comes from the indwelling Holy Spirit, who writes God's law on our hearts and enable us to obey Him. But God, who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit, is the end of verse 8. Also in verse 8, this principle is expressed several ways in Scripture. There are sins against God, like murder, disliking or despising the least child or believer, any mistreatment of a creature, or your rejection of Jesus and the gospel is considered a sin. If preachers or ministers would emphasize this more, I think there would be less malice, envy, jealousy, and strife in the world. Let me say that among Christians today, and basically Gentiles among Christians today as well as everyone, if there was more love in the world, less despising, despiseth no man, but God, who hath also given unto us His Holy Spirit. Do not despise. Every believer has the Holy Spirit in a measure. You are given, when you are saved, you are given a measure of the Holy Spirit when you are born again. Romans 8:9 tells us, if any man have not the Spirit, he does not belong to Christ. Therefore, if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you do not belong to Jesus Christ. Okay, we talked about vessels. We talked about what it takes to be sanctified. Verse 9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Brotherly love, in the Greek it's Philadelphia, meaning brotherly love. Love one another, yourselves are taught of God. Refers to the God teaching of the divine love among Christians. He teaches us by example of giving His only Son. He gave His only Son. He did this while we were yet still His enemies, because we were sinners. God doesn't like sinners. The lesson here is that if God so loved His enemies enough to give up His only Son, surely you can love one another. He loved us enough to give up His one and only Son. Man, I wouldn't give up my one and only Son. Not for you guys. That's how much God loved you. God loved you. I just could not give up my Son. I would not. I don't think I would be able to. And if you're honest, you probably wouldn't be able to either. But God did. He did for you. And you weren't even born. Love, love, love. See what love would do for you. 11. And that ye study to be quiet. Quiet. Don't stop gossiping. To study, to be ambitious. Pursue eagerly. Strive and aspire to. Prize above measure. To be quiet. Live peacefully with others, even in the midst of trials. For those who lead a quiet life do not stir up conflict. You can't be walking with God in holiness and be a troublemaker at the same time. Okay. 12. That ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that ye may have lack of nothing. In these verses 11 and 12, Paul gives practical instructions for the holy life, encouraging believers. He encourages believers to walk properly before others. For you are the light. You are the salt of the earth. Believe it or not, if you call yourself a Christian, people are watching you. People outside the family of God should see Christians as people of integrity whose lives can withstand inspection. Nothing, absolutely nothing in the life of a believer should cause unbelievers to blaspheme God or to question that believer's devotion to God. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, and that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. A Christian's grief for a deceased loved one should look different from that of others who have no hope. Those who aren't sanctified and those who are not Christian have no hope. Grieve with confidence that your deceased believers are safe in heaven, so their grief is mixed with comfort and even joy. Asleep is a euphemism for death. Paul's point is that for believers, death is temporary, as a good night's sleep. 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. The call to resurrection at the rapture will not include all the dead, only believers. These saints will ascend first. Paul then explains the event in the sequence. Then we who are alive and remain shall meet the Lord in the air. In Revelations, those who died as unbelievers will be raised to stand before the great white throne of judgment. Jesus will return to take believers to heaven, a fulfillment of his promise to his disciples. See that in John 14, 1 through 3. When he returns, it will be sudden and stupendous. Jesus will return to take believers to heaven, which is a fulfillment of his promise to his disciples from John 14, 1 through 3. This return will be sudden and stupendous. It will be an event that will mirror his post-resurrection to heaven. His return will be physical, visible, and powerful. It will be accompanied by a single sound that is at once a shout, a voice, and a trumpet. His return will not be misunderstood by those who belong to him. Be a watchman on the wall. Finishing up chapter 4, Paul encourages the Thessalonian Christians to comfort each other with reminders of their ultimate destiny, that they would one day go to be with the Lord. in His eternal presence. You see, Christian death is not permanent. It is compared to a sleep where we wake up in the Lord's presence. In the rapture, a believer's soul and spirit will be reunited with the glorified body. What normally happens is when you die, your soul and spirit, the immortal parts of us that give life to our bodies and that think and feel and relate to God, leave the body and go immediately to be with the Lord, while the shell of the body goes in the grave. We will be with the Lord in heaven during the tribulation, and we will accompany Christ to earth at Armageddon. This is Vicki. If you have any questions, please, please go to Vicki at VickiTruthMinistries.org. Please comment, share, and subscribe to this podcast. We need you desperately. Please share, comment, and subscribe. Thank you. Hi, this is Vicki coming to you with 1 Thessalonians 4 through verses 1 through 18 in the Complete Jewish Study Bible. I figured that some of you may like this version or understand this version a little bit more. Okay, so here we go. Chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, brothers, just as you learned from us how you had to live in order to please God, and just as you are living this way now, we ask you, indeed, united with the Lord Jesus, we urge you to keep doing so more and more. For you know what instructions we gave you on the authority of the Lord Jesus. What God wants is that you be holy, that you keep away from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to manage his sexual impulses in a holy and honorable manner, without giving in to the lustful desires, like the pagans who don't know God. No one should wrong his brother in this manner or take advantage of him, because the Lord punishes all who do such things. As we have explained to you before at length, for God did not call us to live an unclean life, but a holy one. Therefore, whoever rejects this teaching is rejecting not a man, but God. Indeed, the one who gives you the Holy Spirit, which is His. Concerning love for the brothers, we do not need to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do it even more. Also make it your ambition to live quietly, to mind your own business, and to earn a living by your own efforts. Just as we told you, also make it your ambition to live quietly, to mind your own business and to earn your living by your own efforts, just as we told you. Then your daily life will gain the respect of outsiders, and you will not be dependent on anyone. Now, brothers, we want you to know the truth about those who have died. Otherwise, you might become sad the way other people do, who have nothing to hope for. For since we believe that Yeshua died and rose again, we also believe that in the same way, God, through Yeshua, will take with him those who have died. When we say this, We base it on the Lord's own words. We who remain alive when the Lord comes will certainly not take precedence over those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a rousing cry, with a call for one of the ruling angels, and with God's shofar. Those who died united with the Messiah will be the first to rise. Then we who are left still alive will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will always be with the Lord. So encourage each other with these words. Now we have our summary. You see, in this chapter, Paul gives the believers of Macedonia, as well as the believers of today, God's will and the requirements of sanctification. I gave these earlier when we read the King James Version. By the way, the vessel mentioned in the King James Version of this message is your body. Then Paul continues by encouraging believers to walk properly in their life privately as well as before others. You should be able to withstand inspection. And nothing in your life should cause unbelievers to blaspheme God or question your devotion to God. He also tells you that your grief for a deceased loved one should be different from the others who are not believers and have no hope. Paul explains again the rapture. This is Vicki. See you next time.